Adventures in Research. When your youngster scribbles down a list of the things he wants Santa Claus to bring, it's a pretty safe guess that high on the list is a sleek, slim device of steel and wood, a sled. This is the story of the man who invented the modern sled, added the word belly whopper to the dictionary, and turned out to be Kris Kringle's helper. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science, produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story of Samuel L. Allen. To look at him, you wouldn't think that he was the godfather of much of young America's fun and excitement. Mr. Allen looks rather grim. There's a stern set to his jaw before it sinks into his high collar. But perhaps there is a hint of a twinkle in the cold blue eyes hidden behind his old-fashioned spectacles. But back in 1885, his four youngsters didn't always notice it.
37 for 92 leaves. There must be an error in here somewhere.
It's mine.
Let's see, I'll take them up once more. Oh, great flying mackerel. What's going on here? Quiet down. Oh, can't you see I'm trying to do some figuring? Oh, that's better. Can't you play quietly? Do you have to run and scream at the top of your voice?
Well, it's my game, and he wants to
play it. Cease! We shall have no more whining and arguing, and no more Indian, young man. Now, if you can't play quietly, you will all be dealt with. In my day, when I was your age, believe me, I was not permitted to run all over the house.
Did they have houses in your day?
Certainly we had houses. You think I'm Methuselah? And we children knew when we were to be seen and not heard. We had respect for our elders. None of this wild Indian business either.
What did you do, Dad?
Why, we minded our manners. And if we wanted to yell and shout, we went outside to do it.
Outside? But it's snowing.
So it is, and all the better. Why, when I was a lad, I couldn't wait to get out into that snow and run and frolic and jump in it.
Oh, gee, that sounds like fun, Daddy. Come out with me and jump in the snow.
Well, I'm afraid I'm a little... I'm busy. But you four could...
Could what, Dad?
Why, when there's snow on the ground, there's a million things to do. When I was your age, believe me, I wasn't coming around asking my father, what can I do? There'd be no such nonsense. He was a strict man who wouldn't put up with any shenanigans.
He sounds terrible mean.
He was not. He was a much better father than yours, I'll have you know. I didn't mean it the way it sounded.
Well, Dad, what did you do when you were a boy?
What did I do? Why, say, when I was a tad, about half the size of you, Junior, not much bigger than Thomas here. Why, I'd get out in the snow, and I'd get my sled, and I'd pull it up to the top of the hill, and I'd go careening down. Whee! Down the hill.
Daddy!
Look at me go!
Daddy, when we yell like that, you get mad.
Well, why don't you get your sled and go out and play in the snow?
Dad, we can't slide down the hill.
Oh? Just tell me why you can't slide down the hill, young man.
We don't have a hill.
Well, I don't see there. No hill. Great flying mackerel, boy, that's right. Well, we'll see about that. Yes, we will. Every growing boy should have a hill, and if we can't find one, we'll build one.
So Samuel Allen built a hill on his New Jersey farm, and his four youngsters had their place to coast. The Allen house was a good deal quieter after that, and Mr. Allen was able to think about his work, a manufacturing plant for the building of farm implements.
The trouble, Mertz, is that our production is seasonal.
Nobody makes any better tools than we do, Mr. Allen. Why, next spring and summer, there'll be plenty of farmers interested in buying mowers and rakes and such.
I know, but maintaining the plant during the off-season is what worries me. We just can't find enough business to offset the overhead.
All summer and fall, the men are doing next to nothing.
Well, no sense in worrying about that right now. This is our busy season, all right. Going to take some doing to get the men off for Christmas Day. But it'll be like you say, Mr. Allen. Nobody works on Christmas Day.
It's only a week away. And I've been so busy looking after the business, I haven't given a thought to anything for the children. And here it is, December 18th. Oh, well, I'll think of something. Anyhow, Mertz, you see...
Oh, somebody at the door, Mr. Allen. I'll let them in as they go out.
Thanks, Mertz.
Mr. Allen, what are you going to do about it, eh?
Why, Mrs. Terwilliger, you look like you've taken a fall in the snow.
I did not take any fall, Mr. Allen. I was hit. Set upon by that gang of ruffians.
Oh, here. Come over by the fire and brush some of that snow off.
Look at my hat. My coat. Terrible. Disgraceful. I just wanted you to see what those hoodlums did to me.
Hoodlums?
Those children of yours. They sat upon me. I was on my way to the main road when all of a sudden they came charging down the hill on a sled and bowled me right over into a snowbank. Disgraceful. I just know it will bring back my rheumatism.
But Miss Terwilliger, I'm sure it was an accident.
Accident indeed. You'll hear from my lawyer about this, Mr. Allen. Good day.
But, Miss Terwilliger... it would have to be that nosy old biddy buddy that they ran down.
Hello, Dad.
Junior, I was just going to call you. Sit down. I want to have a talk with you.
Golly willikers, Dad. I can't. I've got to go out.
You just sit down for a moment. I've just had a visit from Mrs. Terwilliger.
Uh-oh.
She told me that someone came charging down the hill on a sled and popped her into a snowbank.
That's right, Dad. But it wasn't our fault. Eh? Honest. I tried to pull out of the way, but she jumped right into the path of the sled, and I couldn't help it.
Yes, I know. Fool sleds.
You're not going to take the sled away from us, are you, Dad? Honest, I apologized and everything, but she wouldn't listen.
We'll have to do something, Junior. Sleds can be dangerous. Funny that somebody wouldn't do something to make them safer. Fool, things are just the same as they were when I was a boy. And I suppose when my father was a boy, too.
I tried to get out of her way. I dragged my foot and rolled to one side, but I couldn't steer it.
All right, Junior, but be careful.
I will, Dad. Honest, I will.
Though the sled of 1885 was no streamlined thing of beauty and no safety device either, it hadn't changed much in design for 1,000 years and consisted of a flat wooden board mounted on a pair of rigid wooden runners. Sometimes the runners were edged with iron or bone. The wooden board itself was almost square, giving the sled a squat, unwieldy appearance. The only way to steer it was to drag your foot over one side or the other, or shift your weight from side to side, and that rarely helped much. Once under motion, you were at the mercy of trees, buggies, ash cans, pedestrians, or anything else that got in your way. So that was why Samuel Allen pondered the question,
why couldn't you build a sled that could be steered? After all, it's still a week until Christmas, and I have the steel and wood at the shop.
Golly willikins, Dad. I never saw a sled like this ever before.
Well, son, the runners are of flexible steel, you see, instead of wood.
Uh-huh.
Now, this wooden crossbar up front here bends the runners. You see?
Golly.
Now, if you push with your foot on this side of the crossbar, it turns the sled to the right. Now, to turn left, you push on the other side.
Golly willikins.
And I think you're going to find that that being narrower and longer, it'll go a bit faster, too.
Gee, thanks.
Now, you take the other children out on the hill and try it. And take turns, mind you.
We will, Dad. Golly willikins, what a sled. Thanks again, Dad, and gee, Merry Christmas.
The Allen children voted the new sled terrific. And then Samuel Allen realized something else. The sled was made of the very materials that he used at his farm implement factory. Why couldn't he put his company to work making sleds in the summer months when the factory had no production? So in 1889, he test-built a few of the sleds and tried to place them in stores.
I'm afraid not, Mr. Allen. Such a sled. Honestly, no, would never sell.
But why not?
Why, the cost, for one thing. Quite a bit more expensive than the regular sled.
Oh, I know, but look at its flexible runners. They're of steel. This is a modern sled.
My dear Mr. Allen, children have used wooden sleds with wooden runners for generations. No, they wouldn't want anything else.
But the merchants reckoned without young America, for Sam Allen's sled was an instant success. First, it was beautiful. It had long, graceful steel runners with steel supports that held a slim hardwood riding platform. Second, it was serviceable. Its swiftness and maneuverability astonished even the most blasé youngster. He called it the Flexible Flyer and built them by the thousands. One hint of its unusual success came in its very first year when Sam Allen had a visitor.
Mr. Williger, won't you come in? This is a surprise.
Mr. Allen, my reason for coming here is... Well, I shall be as brief as possible.
There hasn't been another accident, has there? I mean, you don't look like you've been pushed into a snowbank.
No, I haven't. But I was just coming by, and I thought...
It's the noise, Mrs. Terwilliger, I warned the youngsters to be more quiet, but you know how they are.
I am not here about the noise. Mr. Allen, could you... That is, would you... Ask your youngsters to let me borrow their sled.
Borrow their sled?
I've been watching them on that new sled of yours. And I... Well, when I was a girl, sleds were much too unwieldy for a young thing like me to use. Could I borrow it just once? One coast downhill? You know, Mr. Allen, you might not believe it, but I've always wanted to take a belly whopper.
And that is how Samuel Allen invented the modern sled and made coasting a national winter pastime. And over the years, the familiar steel sled has continued to see improvements. Grooved runners to give a better grip on slippery snow and ice. Continuous turned-up runners at the rear of the sled to do away with the sharp projecting ends. Larger, sleeker models, safer and more sturdy because of improved production line manufacturing methods. Yes, indeed, Mr. Allen started a trend in winter recreation. And he started another trend, too. For every year since 1885, jolly old Kris Kringle has had the tremendous task of hauling tons and tons of sleds down from the North Pole so he can put one right under that Christmas tree of yours. Thanks to Samuel L. Allen's unusual adventure in research. That's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.